I'm leaving that one in.
You're not, dude. Come on.
Hey, Underground, we are in a new series. That's what we open with every week.
In a brand new series.
All right, so we've spent 2 weeks talking with Michelle Wegner about soul care practices. We talked about our personal calling and discovery report. And Corey and I were talking about where do we go from here? What's helpful to missionaries? Because that's what we want. We want this podcast to be helpful to everyday followers of Jesus that are thinking to themselves, I want to be someone that owns gospel saturation in this city. I want to partner with these other people in the city that have the same desire. And we were just chatting about, you know, what prevents someone from really owning that, from really adopting that vision, that mission, from entering into all of life is mission. I want to make disciples. And so Corey, it's taking him a while. He's trying to count right now.
Well, I'm literally from like a 3-minute like brainstorm session this morning, I came up with 23 ideas of what, like I call them potential movement or disciple making barriers. So I'm not going to go through these because that's not good radio, ladies.
Well, they're going to be good podcasts later. That's the point.
I mean, but some of them are like big ideas, like, you know, just, you know, things like we talked about in the micro church series of, you know, just our church structures don't lend itself to multiplication or movement. Some of it's big stuff like fractured relational networks. People don't know people. How can stuff move, you know, things like that. Some of it's super specific, like I'm really awkward when I talk to people about Jesus, right? And like, I mean, we can zoom in real deep, we can be broad. So I figure, hey, we got a lot of good.
I like how you put the qualifier on there, when you talk to Jesus.
When I talk to Jesus?
I know, I just meant you're really awkward. Awkward Corey.
Jesus loves my awkwardness.
He does love you so much.
He loves me despite and maybe because of my authentic awkwardness.
I don't think he loves you despite. That sounds really bad. All right, so what we're going to start off with, though, is just a framework. We put together, actually, a gospel. It's not a gospel primer. It's the KC Underground Primer that is an introduction before the 7-week huddle that we have. So we've talked about the 7-week huddle, the missionary pathway. It's a huddle designed to be multiplicative. Leadership is built into it. It's designed for you just to invite some friends into and to begin to walk through these 7 weeks together that are training you in how to begin in prayer, how to live like a missionary, and how to plant the gospel. Primarily, those are the first three phases of the missionary pathway that we've talked about. And we've talked about our goal for 2021 is to see 2,000 people walk through that cohort to be trained in these basic kind of pathways of mission. And we're up to about 400 people so far.
Yeah, it's actually been really encouraging. We were in a huddle conversation last night, and it's actually really fun because we're able to see like real time, like things click. But more than that, because the huddle is really geared towards practicality, right? It's like stories of what's happening, especially in the low-hanging fruit areas, you know. So like last night, it was really a result of the huddle a week ago, where I have a breakout and they're just discussing people, like context. We really spent a lot of time early on and where's the context that God's called you. And, you know, there's a woman in our group who's just describing this neighbor who seems really hungry. And there was someone else in the group who was like, I really think she sounds like she'd be ready to be kind of invited in to discover a little bit more about God in the Bible. And through that encouragement, we're sharing stories the next week. And she just shares they're on a walk with a neighbor and having a gospel conversation. And she just said, hey, she kind of explained even like this discovery Bible, you know, process. And she says, before I could even get the invitation out, the neighbor was like, yes, yes, let's do that. Yes. Yeah. You know? And so it's like so fun to be able to see that you know, it just happened right in front of you. So as we're talking about the huddle and we're talking about really this primer, the reason why we want people to have a little bit of like knowledge or at least a little bit of understanding when they step into this huddle is because it's action-based. And so to have a little bit of like understanding what you're stepping into can be helpful. And we do, we talk a lot, like first step in everything is this concept of, I think what you're getting at, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. 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 You jumped right to where I was going. I was going to pull the context map back out and say, like, you know, we're talking about barriers to what prevents people from really stepping in and owning the mission. And one of the ways to step in and own the mission is, hey, walk through this huddle and learn how to do this with other people, join them on mission. And then to set the stage for that, I keep hitting this microphone.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I forgive you. despite you hitting this microphone, I still love you.
So now I'm thrown off.
Yeah, it's my bad.
So we want to help people step into, like you said, an understanding of, I feel like I'm lost now.
It's because I started going down this path of missionary pathway, and then I abruptly
ran ahead
because I realized I was going down a totally different like trail, and abruptly brought it back. But I mean, you're talking about the primer,
yes,
and you're saying like, okay, within that primer, we talk about this concept within the missionary pathway.
We are training people right up front with this, but it was also yesterday when we started talking about, what are the barriers to people owning mission and step into it? My immediate response is, what keeps people from doing this is, it sounds so harsh now that I was about to say it out loud.
Do it. Say it. It's a safe place.
You don't own Jesus as Lord.
Yeah.
If Jesus is Lord, and by that we mean every area of life, the natural outflow is absolutely, I want other people to own this.
Yeah.
I want, because it's like, you know, I just, every part of me is immersed in who he is. Every part of me is being more and more surrendered. Mm. And I want the world to know, because I understand what he's done for me. I understand what he's doing in the world. And as we adopt this, I don't know, adopt, integrate, surrender, submit, whatever word you want to put on it, this whole worldview of Jesus is Lord, a natural outflow is that you begin to carry mission into every part of your life and into every part of the world.
Yeah.
And if you don't own that, then yes, it will be hard.
Absolutely.
You will hear someone say you need to be on mission, and there's a part of you that's like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm really not saying this as like a guilt thing. I really believe it's just something that for me has been true. Mm. And I think that, well, I mean, we quote smart people like Alan Hirsch, Deb Hirsch, other people that have also said these same phrases. So today we wanted to spend...
But they say it with an accent also.
They do. So it sounds a little...
It just sounds better.
A nice Australian, South African kind of thing.
Seriously.
Somebody's listening, they're like, is it Australian or South African? For Alan, it's both. For Deb. Anyway, we'll cut that part out.
No, we won't. We don't cut things out.
All right, so let's talk about this three-word worldview of Jesus is Lord. And I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Corey takes us to Matthew 28. Let's go to Matthew 28 first, because as we look at this underground primer, which, by the way, if you want access to the underground primer, well, we can email it to you. Just email me, brian@kcunderground.org. But in this primer,
or you can go to missionarypathway.com.
Missionary, and it's the intro and start reading. The huddle. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So we're gonna hit two fundamental truths. So Corey, why don't you read fundamental truth number one?
Yeah, fundamental truth number one, couched in the Great Commission, is that the Great Commission inevitably leads followers of Jesus to adopt a vision of gospel saturation.
That was dramatic.
Boom, 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 boom. My voice cracked on the first note there. But the reason why we say that is, you know, so the last thing that Jesus is telling his disciples before he ascends, which I always used to joke, like I always felt like the most important thing that my mom wanted to get across when I was like leaving or when she was leaving was, you know, whatever last bit of instruction she would throw out to me, you know, be safe and don't do, you know, whatever it was at the moment in high school. I just like, and that was the first thing that always popped in my mind. It's like the last thing, this wasn't some just like, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. you know, go reach the whole world. I mean, it was like this culminating catalytic sending off commission. And so in that commission, it's like all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go, mm-hmm. like it, and reach everybody, mm-hmm. all nations, all people groups. There's just there's a macro vision baked into the Great Commission, which is to reach everyone everywhere. And so just inevitably as followers of Jesus stepping into obedience to the Great Commission, like inevitably you're stepping into a vision of gospel saturation.
Yeah. Fundamental truth number two.
To fulfill the Great Commission and see gospel saturation, we must understand the lordship of Jesus.
Jesus is Lord. So this verse is, or this verse from 2 Corinthians is where I pull this phrase. And I'm just going to read it to you, but it's one of the many places in the New Testament where we hear this phrase, Jesus is Lord. So this is Paul's letter. Wait, I'm going to do a Corian sound.
Oh, yeah.
Really spiritual and righteous.
It's amazing because you're actually just on your phone.
Come on, man.
How did you do that?
That's not true. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. I mean, you can just feel like the lean in right there. We never give up because we have this new way. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. Like we're not only believing a new way, we're living a new way. Mm. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. In other words, if you look at our lives, you can see this is at play. Mm. Verse 3, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And then verse 5, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Mm. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, for the 21st century person.
What about the 20th person? Sorry.
No, that was continue my fault. If we're not accustomed to this language of lordship, at least not in the West, where we live in democratic cultures and we have, you know, we're a part of society and we contribute and all these things. So we don't have the understanding of what it means to declare that someone is Lord. But this is what we know from history. In this first century, second century, right in here, all of that, you have Roman Caesar who is declaring Caesar is Lord. Mm-hmm. And when he says that, he does believe he is divine. And if you do not declare that Caesar is Lord, you're at risk of death. You can be put to death if you don't declare this phrase, Caesar is Lord. So to speak anything other is treasonous. So when the followers of Jesus, like Paul, are saying, now Jesus is Lord, they are refusing to swear their allegiance to the empire. Mm-hmm. They're refusing to swear their allegiance to the worldly systems. And they recognize that they belong to this greater kingdom, one that is not run by, you know, fallen people, men who are choosing their own ways. It's a kingdom that won't fade or pass away. And they're declaring so much more. Like when we say Jesus is Lord, like we often have it couched in a very thin understanding of the gospel.
Yeah, even like a conceptual theological agreement.
Yeah. Like it's just in our minds. We're like, yeah, Jesus is Lord, so I'm saved. I'm in. When I die, there it is again. When I die, I'm going to heaven. And so what they're declaring though is so much bigger. It's actually rooted in the Old Testament. So Alan Hirsch, which we've referenced already a couple of times in this podcast, takes it all the way back to the Shema in the Old Testament, this phrase that the Israelites would have said every day, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Mm-hmm. And what they were declaring was that all of my life is surrendered to you. Mm-hmm. So my finances, surrender to you. My family life, surrender to you. My social life, surrender to you. My physical well-being, surrender to you. The things I eat and put in my body, I choose to surrender that to you. Mm-hmm. The words that I speak that come out of my mouth, I surrender that to you.
Yep.
And so what Paul and these New Testament believers are doing when they say Jesus is Lord is they're saying, I'm giving you, Jesus, full authority over my decisions.
Yeah.
You have full authority over my spouse, my kids, where we live, where we eat, how we spend the resources we have, how we open our home, how we serve our bosses, the people that we work with. This is the phrase, if we live for you or if we die for you.
Mm.
And for the first century person, that the last part of that phrase was very real for them.
Yeah.
It was a genuine possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about the idea? I mean, it's kind of like when we talk about disciple making from the ground up and obedience kind of being the starting point, not the eventual point. This, like, there are areas in my life where I, even if I have not known it, have not yielded to Jesus as Lord over that area. And so maybe, like, have you said Jesus Lord or have you not? It's like what else do I need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in my life? And so even with you starting off, you know, saying like, what's the biggest barrier to disciple making? It's not just, well, Jesus isn't your Lord. It's that, like, maybe.
Is that what I sound like?
Yeah, but it's more angry and Southern.
Maybe. No. What? Go ahead.
No, but maybe there is an area in your life that just needs to be surrendered to Jesus so that your heart is softened towards people, that you love others. You know, like we often talk about when we're starting this process is like, I like to sit in this, the parable of the lost son, and really the parable of the two sons and look at the father heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I've learned a lot of from movement trainers globally. We always start with the father heart of God. Mm-hmm. And what do we learn from the father heart of God? It's like, well, he desperately loves and longs for those who are lost to be found, right? Like the father will run to you. The father loves you. And so mission for us is joining the father in the father's type of love. And it was also, we also have this little blog post that from our friend C. Anderson. I say friend, I've actually never met her, but who lives overseas.
But she's amazing.
But she is amazing. Actually, she is, like, her blog posts, I think it's DMM Frontiers.
I don't know if she's amazing, but her blog
posts. Yeah, if nothing else, the things that she writes are really awesome. And hey, someday we're going to get her on this podcast.
We should do that.
You mark my words.
Email her.
I will. I'll reach out. But anyway, I love one of her blogs where she talks about, like, basically it's like, do I even love people? Right. And she's overseas in the midst of movements. I mean, we're seeing the gospel multiply rapidly in the context that she's in. And it's still like, after a few years, she writes in her blog, she's like kind of hitting a wall. It was hard. And she had to step back and be like, do I even love people? Mm. And like, to me, I think that is a very practical example of submitting even my own desires to the Lordship of Jesus. Like, I want to be a missionary. I'm a paid professional missionary. I train missionaries. And it's like, I gotta stop. I'm like, do I even love my neighbors in the way that I, like, does my heart burn for them? So I want to submit that to Jesus. I want the reality that Jesus is Lord to shine a light on my own posture, my own motives. Mm-hmm. So that it would be redeemed and flipped and you know, made like righteous, you know?
Yeah. While you're saying that, it makes me think of the way that we try to talk as much as possible with all of our underground missionaries to think it's not just go out and do, it's not just be on mission. It's not like, again, that's why I say it's not this guilt thing of like, oh, if you don't have Jesus as Lord, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Oh, it's like, he is so good. Like, I want to surrender all of my life to him because, and this is the truth behind the Jesus is Lord piece, is like, he wants you to live this fully alive life. Like, if we go to John 10:10, I've come that you would have a fully alive life. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to have broken places in your life. Like, yeah. And this is where, again, the gospel is so much bigger than we make it when we just, you know, corner it to what happens one day way off down the road. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about that fully alive life, he's talking about the kingdom filling you mm-hmm. in every way first. And so when we talk about surrendering our finances to Jesus,
yeah.
it's like, it's because he doesn't want poverty.
Mm.
He doesn't want this, you know, like spending our money wastefully on things that we think will satisfy us and won't, because they're not helping us live this fully alive life. He wants us being generous and looking for others who, like, we can pour our resources into to elevate them out of poverty. What does it mean to surrender, you know, my kitchen table to him? It's like he wants me to live a fully alive life in community, not in loneliness, and to share that shalom with other people who are lonely. What does it mean to, you know, surrender my parenting? That's like every one right. of these is like
that's right.
the lordship of Jesus. The surrender of it is because when we do that, the fullness of Jesus enters in that place, and we move from brokenness to wholeness.
Mm.
We move from places where we don't have full joy into places of full joy. It's not like I probably set this up wrong, because in my mind, I always go there. It's like, surrender to Jesus as Lord, because you're supposed to, because I'm a one on the Enneagram, and this is just about perfection. But I'm glad you went there and kind of slowed down, because it's a reminder again, like, it's not surrender and submission where it's like, you know, I'm going to walk around with my head down and hung. Mm-hmm. It's actually like, when I surrender to Jesus as Lord, he lifts my chin up
mm-hmm.
and fills me up.
Totally. But, I mean, I don't know, to validate what you're saying before too, it is sometimes it is like, who's in charge here? You know, like you ain't in charge. And we need to have, I mean, that's what repentance is, that like transformation of mind, that stopping and being like, all right, you know, I'm done with being in charge. Like, Jesus, you're in charge. I'm just saying, like, and I'm agreeing with what you're, it's not a one-time thing.
Mm-mm.
It's a daily surrendering of things. And I think that's our point. And for us to join God in mission, because remember that the greater theme of this is, what are barriers that stop us from seeing disciples made and the gospel planted and new microchurches emerge? What are barriers? And the greatest one is, like, are there areas in your life that are not submitted to Jesus that God is calling you to submit to him now? Like, and we can't just sit here and tell you exactly what that is. And you don't have to be perfect to join God in this mission, but the continued submission to Jesus is a absolute prerequisite and continued requisite to see disciples made. You know, because it's just it's the nature of a disciple, man. We follow Jesus in the places that he's at because he is God. He is worth following. I am not. I that is, if we're really, I don't know, frustrated, is that the right word? If we're critiquing American Christianity, I mean, is that the biggest critique? Is that really Jesus isn't Lord of our lives? Mm-hmm. We want to agree with the things that are convenient for us to agree with. We want to explain away the things that we can find, like, some unique contextual, like, you know, nugget from, well, this book says that first century blah 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 is this, so actually this Greek word could possibly in this context mean blah blah blah. It's like, shut up, dude. You're trying to explain away what God is telling you to do, and that sounds harsh, but I'm just saying, like, if your discipleship is based on I'm going to surrender to Jesus, then we don't spend all of our time trying to explain away those things that make us uncomfortable. Instead, we press deeper into the Lord who said those things to us.
Well, the surrender matters. Again, I'm going back to the more areas of our life that are informed by Jesus, the more alive we become, the more full we become. And we wrote this in the primer. What we read on the pages of Scripture speaks about that fully alive life that has been promised to us. an adventure of the highest order. That's I love. I mean, that's that way I'm made. Yeah, you know, I love talking about adventure.
Those are Brian's words in the primer. That part, Brian wrote that part. That's good stuff, man.
But what we read speaks of belonging at a deeper level than just a membership card, which is what you're saying. Yeah. I don't just belong to a local congregation. Like, no, I belong to a big family. When I, you know, mm-hmm. like I got a marriage license and an adoption card and all of this, And we read this compelling narrative about a few nobodies that sparked this movement that took over the ancient world. We don't read about a few sterile events that leaves us asking if we should come back next Sunday.
Ouch.
So just a few quotes that are, you know, we dropped in there that are super important to me, to us. Alan Hirsch writes this, "All genuine Christian movements, which we strive to be one, involve at their spiritual ground zero a living encounter with the one true God, capturing the meaning of for from him, through him, and to him are all things." And so we pose this first question. We have to ask, have I had that kind of encounter in my life?
Yeah.
Is it true of my life? Like, I would encourage you, just as a next step out of this podcast, go to Romans 11. Go to the end of the chapter. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. I'm going to do a quick little survey of my life. I love to lean in on the, man, from God, this is from you. Thank you, Lord. And through him, okay, this is getting a little more challenging, to him are all things. Like, to offer, again, my free time is yours. My work, it belongs to you. It's a reflection of my worship to you. Like, is my encounter with Jesus such that I can look at my whole life and go, from you, through you, and to you are everything? And again, that's not a guilt thing. The more we surrender, the more alive we are. Steve Addison, second quote, from an exhaustive study of Christian movements, which we strive to be one, is that they maintain growth with white hot faith brought about by a rediscovery of Jesus' place and importance. So we must ask, is my life maintained by a white-hot faith and formed by the centrality of Jesus? Am I getting close to the fire every day and like I long just to be with Jesus, and because of that like white-hot faith, it's spurring me on in mission? And then the last phrase here, for an underground church disciple-making movement, which we strive to be one. All the clutter of unnecessary traditional interpretations and theological paraphernalia is removed. Alan always writes with really massive
I
words.
I love the theological paraphernalia. That's good, man.
It has neither the time. This goes to just what you were speaking of a minute ago, where it's like, I'm going to open these books and have an hour and a half discourse on this one Greek word. It has neither the time nor the internal capacity to maintain weighty, systematic theologies and church dogma. It must travel light. Faith is once again linked in utter simplicity to Jesus. And so again, we must ask, is my faith linked in simplicity to Jesus alone? And then the final question, do I want this?
Yeah.
So
I should have let that silence sit a little bit longer. I was uncomfortable.
So, you were processing your own.
I filled it. Yeah, I forgot that we were recording.
Yes. Yeah. So, but it's just the beginning, like you said, Corey.
So good.
It's not a. It's not a once and done. We don't just surrender and say Jesus is Lord, and it's like, cool, we're in, we got it. It's an everyday moving from unbelief to more belief in Jesus in every area of our life. It's a continual diving deeper into those encounters with Jesus, which then leads us to a missional embodiment. Once we adopt Jesus as Lord, the natural outflow is, I want everybody else to know this.
One of my favorite things is we do so many trainings in different contexts, is, you know, from middle schoolers to you know, elderly, and to be able to sit and see people kind of re-grasp this, right? Like, Jesus is Lord and he is on the move and I'm going to join up. And it's like the beauty, I used this phrase yesterday, we're training some church leaders and who were convicted that they hadn't even really prayed specifically for lost people for a really long time. And this guy on staff was kind of confessing this to a bunch of people. I thought was really cool and bold. And I was just like, man, praise God for the gentle, like, rebuke of that. Like, it's not shame thrown on this dude, right? It was like this gentle reminder that, you know, Jesus is Lord. He's going to point you in the right direction when we submit to him. And if my heart is in the wrong place, if I'm continuing a posture of submission, then he's going to gently redirect. And our role is to hold it before him and to course change when we need a course change, when our eyes have been blinded or just far off. So what's the first barrier, first and biggest and continued barrier to us joining God in mission and seeing disciples made is probably a lack of us surrendering to Jesus as Lord. But it is a freeing, like what you keep saying, a freeing thing to join him in his mission. It's a freeing thing to know that I don't have to produce this out of my own gift set or knowledge base or anything like that, and that this is his work. You are Lord. I'm not. Submit to you. Let's get rolling.
Yeah, and the continual invitation is there. The invitation is, there are days where Jesus isn't Lord of my life, and he's not just utterly disappointed in me. It's a continual, just to go back to the heart of the Father, it's a continual invitation back into that, and a continual invitation to do a constant survey of our life and say, Jesus, highlight the area for me. What area is not fully surrendered to you? What part of my identity am I finding in my work? What part of my identity am I finding in relationships? What is most informing my life? And if it's you, give me more, show me more. But if it's not, that repentance piece and just moving back into that deeper relationship, because his arms are wide open.
Cue the Creed song.
Oh, no.
Oh, how great would that be? Can you do that when you edit this? Come on.
No, that's a terrible song.
You don't like Creed?
No. Oh. Sorry.
A lot of respect just left. I'm sorry. You had something good you were saying.
Nope. That's it.
With arms wide open.
We started with you singing and we're ending with you singing.
What's funny is Brian is an exceptional singer and musician and I am horrendous. And I'm the one who keeps singing on these podcasts. All right. Yeah, as we close, I have an idea. Okay. I should have thrown this by, you know, out to you before I said this to our thousands of listeners. But we are entering into this bigger conversation of like barriers. What holds us back? What stops the gospel from moving, both personally and on a macro level? And like, do we have an ability for people to like throw us like ideas or questions? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Brian at kcunderground.org.
Perfect.
Or Corey at any number of
got like 17 emails that blend together.
Every time I type your name in, it's like, which one of these email addresses would you like to use this time?
People make fun of me.
I just pick different ones just to have fun.
I mean, you can do Corey Osmond at
kcunderground.org.
So you just do Brian at kcunderground.org, or is it your last name?
No, it's just Brian.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go in and correct yours?
No. Then I'll have like a fourth email address that people will come. So Corey, Cory Osmond, Ozbun at kcunderground.org. But yeah, send us questions, send us ideas, examples. But honestly, most of these things come out of coaching relationships.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're just making this up at the top of our head. It's like, okay, we're realizing this is a continual barrier. This is a continued blockade. This is a continued like question mark. So let's just kind of go through those. We'll probably, honestly, we could probably have a couple years worth of content. We're way too ADD in this podcast to probably stick to that. But it's very possible.
Next week, we're starting a new series because we forgot what we did last week.
But it's all good. It's all good. So I invite you guys to do that. And I have nothing else.
Yeah, we're going to walk through the barriers that we've come up with, but we'd definitely like to hear what level of coaching are and what are your barriers? Because we'd love to create content around that, invite people in who have found breakthrough in it, ideas in it. We're a community that's on mission together in this city, and we want to work and walk with you. So love you, Underground.
with arms wide open.
Thanks for listening to the Underground Podcast. We hope that it's either been an encouragement to you or that it's created a curiosity about what it means to live into a missionary mindset with an aim to make disciples and see the church emerge. If you're a missionary or a microchurch in Kansas City and you're looking for coaching or just belonging within a network, we'd love to connect with you so we can learn about what you are doing and how you are joining Jesus for gospel saturation in this city. If you're outside the Kansas City area and have questions about what it would mean to catalyze a disciple-making movement that leads to the emergence of microchurches in every network within your city, we'd love to connect with you as well and offer whatever resources might be helpful to you. You can find out more at kcunderground.com. Grace and peace, friends.